chapter 3. He protects who he loves. You trust in the Lord for protection. You have made God Most High your place of safety, so nothing bad will happen to you. He will command his angels to protect you wherever you go. Psalm 91, 9-11 ERV. As I organized notes for this book, I had to be careful not to mix the testimony and examples from this chapter on protection with the testimony and examples from the chapter on deliverance. Yes, I know that they could possibly be combined in one chapter, but there is clearly a difference between being protected by God and being delivered by God. Some may say, God protected me by delivering me. Maybe so. But this is the way that the Spirit is leading me to do it. So let's go. God loves you and me too. He does not want us to be harmed or hurt. He does not want bad things to happen to us. And surely God does not want us to die in the midst of our sins before we place our faith in Jesus Christ and receive salvation. But sometimes we end up in dangerous situations where we could be seriously hurt or even killed. Sometimes it's our own fault, but sometimes it's not. Either way, God protects his children. Yes, God could have delivered you from the situation before it became dangerous or maybe before you were even in it. But then you wouldn't know that he protected you from being hurt or killed, and you would not be able to testify of it and bring him glory. I know I wouldn't. Thank God for all the times that he commanded his angels to protect me, Psalm 91:11. God's little ones, be careful. Don't think these little children are not important. I tell you that these children have angels in heaven, and those angels are always with my Father in heaven, Matthew 18:10 ERV. When I was just a little young boy, somewhere along the age of 5 to 8 years old, I experienced a couple of innocent incidents that could have turned out to be fatal accidents. They both occurred at home, in my mother's bedroom, but at separate times. I'm not sure about the length of time in between them, and I really don't remember which happened first. One time I was playing around the house, doing this, doing that, and I made my way to the room where my mother slept. I think she was probably at work. I am her oldest child. My brother is 3 years younger than I am, so I was playing alone. We lived in the family house with my great-grandparents and a cousin or two. I was digging through my mother's things and crawling around under her bed when I stumbled across a shiny little revolver pistol. Being the little boy that I was, I put the gun up to my face, one eye closed, looked down inside of the barrel, and squeezed the trigger. Click. Nothing happened. 1 second later, my much older cousin walked in, and I showed the gun to him. I pointed the gun at him and told him that it was a toy gun. But he took the gun away from me and proved otherwise. No big deal, right? Right. Because God did not allow anything to happen other than what happened. Besides, if God would have allowed me to shoot and kill myself, I would not be writing this book to let you know how much God loves you and me and how wonderful he is. This other time, there was not any intervention from another person whom God used to thwart the devil's plans. In my mother's bedroom, there was a tall lamp which stood about 5 feet high. It had one long pole coming up from the base, and there were three separate rods at the top that extended from the pole horizontally in different directions. Each of these short rods had a socket for a light bulb, but one did not have a bulb in it. I had one of those flat, rectangular-shaped erasers that I decided to drop inside the light socket. After doing so, I reached up there to retrieve it. Bess, it hurt, but I tried it again. Bess, and again, Bess. Either I was the most stupid little boy alive, or I just had not been taught about electricity yet. I say the latter. Eventually, I turned off the lamp and got my eraser back. And now that I'm writing this, I think I turned it on before I started playing with it. Now some, or many of us know that this is not the way electricity works. Normally, once electricity makes contact with your conductive body, there is no letting go until it has done its damage, miraculously. Or should I say, by the grace of God, I was unharmed. I thank God for having a plan for me. I thank God for protecting me. I thank God for loving me. Also, when I was 11 or 12 years old, I was a Boy Scout in Troop 100. We had went to summer camp in Charleston, Mississippi for a couple of weeks. We were down at the lake getting our swimmers' badges when we were told to line up according to our swimming experience. Get over here in the shallow water if you don't know how to swim. Go over there and stand in line if you know how to swim, said one of the camp counselors. Not only did I go over to get in line with the swimmers, but I went and jumped right into the water. Splash! I sank straight down. After that, all I remember is being laid out on the concrete barrier that separates the depths of the water. Not too scary, since there were adults on watch, but apparently God had and has a purpose for me. God's faithful servants. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Luke 9:26 KJV. Martyr, N. One who is tortured and suffers death for his or her faith. Although we rarely or never hear about or see anyone tortured or killed for following Christ here in the United States of America, there are martyrs in other parts of the world. There are people who are not allowed to safely believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, and that God raised him from the dead. Nonetheless, we as Christians must continue in faith as we serve our Father in heaven under the lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we would be persecuted because of him, but we must still tell others about his goodness and help to win souls for God's kingdom. God loves you. God loves you and me too. We must trust that he loves us. We must trust that God will protect us, his faithful servants, if we do his will. In the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, a prophet named Daniel had won favor with King Darius and was given a position of authority among the people of King Darius's kingdom. He was doing such a good job that the king had intentions on putting him over the entire kingdom. Once others in authority learned of this, they devised a scheme to get rid of Daniel. They tricked the king into making a law which declared that, for a term of 30 days, whoever petitioned any god or man other than King Darius would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel continued praying to the Lord. It was found out, and he was thrown into the lion's den. The next morning, the king checked the lion's den and found out that the Lord had sent his angel and closed the lion's mouth so that they did not harm Daniel. You see, even under persecution, Daniel remained faithful to God. So God remained faithful to his word and protected Daniel. Also in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree for everyone in his kingdom to bow down and worship his idol at the sound of all the musical instruments. He declared that whoever did not do so would be thrown into a very hot furnace. Word got back to the king that three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, disobeyed the king's orders, so they were brought in before the king to be thrown into the furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar gave the three men one final opportunity to bow down and worship his gold idol, but they refused, saying that the Lord God could save them if he wanted to. The king became angry because of their words and heated the furnace so much hotter that it burned and killed the soldiers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. Suddenly the king saw four men in the fire, instead of three, walking around. He ordered them to come out and they did, unharmed, clothes unburned, and not even smelling like smoke. Afterwards, King Nebuchadnezzar praised God, told others about him, and threatened to have anyone killed who said anything against God. These things happened many years ago, but God still protects and always will protect those who remain loyal to him in all circumstances. He loves us all, and he will continue to keep us under his protection as long as we are under the lordship of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Protection in the midst of our sin. But God had commended his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:5 KJV. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. But that does not make God love us any less. In fact, the more sin we have, the more sin he forgives. This doesn't mean that we should continue in sin, Romans 6. It only means that God loves us. He loves us even though we mess up sometimes. He gave his only begotten Son to die for us when we, the people of this world, were still in the midst of our sins. Sin does not make God stop loving us, and in my opinion, sin does not make God stop watching over us and protecting us either. I'll share a few examples with you. At age 16, I was incarcerated for armed robbery. I was not housed in some juvenile detention center or place for young adults. I was put in a 70-foot cell with 20 men who were locked up for charges ranging from burglary to murder. We were located two stories above the LaFour County Sheriff's Department, and I'm not sure if the cameras in there worked. I was not a big guy with muscles, nor did I have plenty of height or weight. I was just some kid who had listened to too much music about robbing, stole my great-grandfather's gun, and robbed a corner store. I wasn't tough. In fact, I was weak. I was bullied for most of my life in school. God loves me so much that during my incarceration, I was not beaten up, raped, or bullied at all. God protected me from all harm and anything that would have caused post-traumatic problems later in life. In my late teens and early 20s, I was living with my father in a single-story apartment complex on East M. Florin Street in Greenwood, Mississippi. He and I lived there alone in a two-bedroom bachelor's pad. I had a buddy who stayed over as often as he liked, but he lived around the corner with his girlfriend. My buddy and I were always smoking weed, snorting cocaine, drinking beer, chasing girls, running the streets, and committing various small crimes. We both had jobs and we were staying out of jail, so everything was smooth. My father had a nice four-door, big-body Buick LeSabre, tan paint, maroon ragtop, and chrome rims. One night, I was sitting outside in front of our apartment alone, drinking a beer. It was black dark outside, and I could not see a thing because I was supposed to be wearing my prescription eyeglasses, which I never made an attempt to wear, unless I was driving. Suddenly, two guys appeared out of nowhere. They questioned me about my father's car and requested that I get him to come to the door. I walked into the house and told him that some guys outside wanted to speak with him, then stepped back out the door as he followed me. Boom, the front door slammed behind me, and that's when I noticed that the two men both had handguns, 40 or 45 caliber. One guy also had a shotgun. How did I not see those guns when they walked up to me? Apparently someone had taken some drugs and money from them earlier that day, and the assailant's car matched the description of my father's car. I am from a town and neighborhood where people shoot first and ask questions later. But because God loves me, and he loved me then, he kept me safe in that situation. Had enough stories about guns yet? I hope not, because I have one more for this chapter. But first, here's a little information about my writing format and inspiration. As I wrote this chapter and crossed off the stories from my list of notes, I began to feel skeptical about including every single one of my stories for this chapter. I felt as though they would not contribute to nor take away from my main point. God loves you and me too, I thought to myself. I can just put 5 of my life stories in this chapter. Maybe 10 is a little excessive, especially since most of them are about guns and electricity. Right, wrong, after praying, arguing with myself, and waiting for guidance from the Holy Spirit, this is the conclusion that I drew. Someone may need to hear about the type of person I was, the type of lifestyle that I lived, or the different things that I have been through so that they can see the picture of God's love that I'm trying to paint. Any of us could probably mention a bunch of stories from the Holy Bible and tell about them, but if we cannot relate them to our everyday lives, what good is that? If we have no testimony of what God has done for us, how can we convince people of what God can do for them? It is true that some people will believe the Word of God just because it is the Word of God, but there are still others who need modern-day comparisons and examples to see things more clearly. Plus, God's Spirit is telling me to write all that my heart desires. By my mid-20s, I had established myself as a drug-dealing, pistol-carrying, womanizing, cocaine abuser. Sounds pretty rough, huh? I lived alone in the most drug-infested neighborhood of the city of Greenwood, Mississippi, on what we call the hardest block. There were always guns being fired, so to hear gunshots directly in front of my house was nothing spectacular, as long as the bullets were not coming through the windows, walls, or doors of the house, we considered it safe. I would normally sit on the couch in the front room of the house, getting high and selling dope all night. On this one particular night, I was in the bedroom, the last room of my 2-bedroom duplex. I heard about 5 or 6 gunshots, loud and close by. I thought nothing of it, though. A moment later, I heard a couple of guys near my back window. Who dat was? Next morning, I woke up to a house and car full of bullet holes. From what I was told, a guy whom I had gotten into a dispute with rode by my house shooting at me. By the grace of God, his angels kept me safe and away from the front room that night. I know that God loves me. During all of these dangerous and possibly fatal incidents through which I was protected by God's love, I was not saved. That's right, my faith was not in Christ. I had been baptized with water, but I did not know what it meant. It was not until recently, age 34 years old, that I learned the truth. Prior to that, I was living life the best way that I thought I could. I prayed, but I did not know what faith was. I think about all the times that I got behind the steering wheel of a car, under the influence of cocaine and vodka, but never had a wreck. I never drove into anyone or anything. Some people are very good at driving under the influence. At least that's what they say. I say that they are protected by God's angels whom he put in charge of them. I know that is the case with me. High voltage. After enrolling in Mississippi Delta Community College in 2011 and receiving my associate's degree in 2013, I began working as an industrial electrician at Protein Products Incorporated in Sunflower, Mississippi. I worked there for 1.5 years, until the tragic death of my wife. During the course of my employment with PPI, I had one bad run-in with electricity and one near miss. One sunny day, a 3-phase 480-volt motor stopped working on one of the screw conveyors. I turned off the power at the disconnect box, put a lock on it, and went up to troubleshoot the problem. I used my AC voltage tester to check for voltage. There was no voltage, power was off, so I unwired the motor. One of my co-workers came up and asked me why I was working on a live circuit. Turns out I had locked the disconnect box labeled the same as the motor I was checking. All the other guys knew that it was labeled wrong because they had been working there for years. All it would have taken to end my life was the touch of a button by someone in production showing your supervisor or co-worker that the conveyor was not working. Another time, I was working on a live 220-volt light circuit. I was wearing uninsulated gloves because it was a simple task. Remove the wire nut, separate the wires, and put the wire nut back on the hot wire without cutting power to the entire circuit. In the midst of twisting off the wire nut, the rubber came apart from the metal conductive part of the wire nut. I accidentally touched it, and it grabbed me, sending 220 volts of alternating current streaming through my body. Nothing and nobody but God stopped the flow of electricity jolting through me long enough for me to withdraw my hand. Nothing and nobody but God saved my life. Special requests. God loves me so much that He has been protecting me all of my life, because He has a plan for me. God loves you and He has a plan for you too. If He did not have a plan for you, you would not be reading this book right now. I know that part of God's plan consists of me writing this book and you reading it. Do me a favor, please. Point your fingers at someone and tell them, God loves you. Then point your thumbs back at yourself and say, and me too. My wish is that everyone who reads this book does this at least once, though I really wish you would do it once daily. Angel in the flesh. I have mentioned God's angels quite a few times in this chapter. It is my belief that God sends His angels, unseen and invisible, to perform tasks that He assigns to them. I also believe that God sends His angels to work. Through people, see Hebrews 13:2. I even believe that I had an encounter with one of God's angels in Wichita, Kansas one night at Club Pandora. We had just attended a rap concert and were at the club, trying to get in because the famous rapper supposedly was going to stop by there for a little after party. I had rode there with a co-worker of mine. We were unsuccessful at getting into the club, even though I was willing to pay the $60 door fee for myself. We went around to the back, and my co-worker and a few other guys were jumping the 10-foot high-pointed steel bar fence to sneak in the back door after someone opened it. I was not going to jump that tall fence and mess up my white pants and lime green polo shirt. As they took turns timing the back door security guard, jumping the fence, and hiding in the doorway until the door was open, I saw something unique and unusual. A young guy dressed in the same exact clothes as I was wearing stood in the doorway, looking directly into my face, shaking his head no. I thought to myself, no what? Moments later, one of the security guards came walking from the front with a crowd of followers behind him. He charged us a fee and let us all into the back door of the club. Once inside the club, I was drinking alcohol, dancing, throwing $1 bills into the air, and having a good time, putting my hands into the air in the form of an M to represent the neighborhood in which I had grown up. While walking through the club, I encountered the young guy again. He was still looking at me and shaking his head no. I was drunk. I thought nothing of it. Since he was standing in front of the exit, I just turned and went in the opposite direction. Immediately, 3 guys approached me, telling me what gang they were in and questioning me about my gang affiliation. I'm Insane Cocaine. I'm from Mississippi. I'm up here doing my music, I said to the guys. The big guy responded to me, oh, you doing your music. Then they walked off to join up with a much larger group of guys who were standing less than 10 feet behind me. The big guy said something to the group, shook my hand, and they all walked away. What just happened? I thought to myself. A moment after the guys walked away, my co-worker came walking up. Apparently, putting up an M sign was being disrespectful to the guys in that town whose sign was a W, close call. Now I see why the guy kept trying to tell me no before all of that happened, before I even entered the club and started disrespecting the gang. Those guys could have seriously hurt or even killed me. Thank God for loving me enough to protect me while I was in the midst of my sin. Save me from the sword. Save my precious life from these dogs. Rescue me from the lion's mouth. Protect me from the horns of the bulls. I will tell my people about you. I will praise you in the great assembly. Psalm 22:20-22 ERV. Eternal protection. Initially, I had finished out this chapter with the above scripture from Psalm 22 and called it a night. I had no more notes on the subject, and I seemed to have everything in order. The following day, as I was praying, talking to God, thanking Him in all three forms, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and as I was asking for guidance on which subject to take on next, God spoke to me. He said, "Ed, you need to speak about death in the chapter that you just wrote. Inform people that I have not forsaken nor stopped protecting the ones that I allowed to die. As a servant of the Most High God, I must obey. God knows everything that has happened. He knows everything that is going on, and He knows everything that will take place. God has always known these things before He created us. God knows who will follow Him with all their hearts. He knows who will try, and He knows who will reject Him. Still, God has a plan for every single one of us, those who died at birth, and those who live to be more than 100 years old. God does not love us more or less than others whom He has given a longer or shorter lifespan. God loves you and me too, unconditionally. He protects who He loves. If God allows a person to die or be killed, that person's purpose on this earth has been served in God's eyes, because God knows the future. He knows what that person will and will not do if he were given 200 more years to live on earth. I don't know what it feels like to die because I have never done it, but I'm sure that those who have passed on are resting. I know that they are protected from the pain and heartache of this world. I know that those who have died of hunger are no longer hungry. I know that those who have died because of sickness and disease are protected from all sickness and disease on earth. I know that those who have died violently are protected from all the violence here in the world. I know that those who are in Christ are protected from a lake of fire and will forever be under God's eternal protection.